Hello and welcome to this deep dive. Today we're looking into the April 14th, 2025 edition of EcoDo 1404-2025.
Yes, a really packed edition this time.
Absolutely. We'll be unpacking quite a range of topics. New investment plans, digitalization challenges, Morocco's debt situation seen through the IMF's lens, potential investment floods, trade tensions, even educational reform.
It's a lot, but it paints a really interesting picture of Morocco's economy right now.
Yeah.
Interacting with, well, everything globally.
Our aim, as always, is to pull out the key insights for you. Make sense of how these different pieces connect.
Exactly. Distill it down. So where should we start?
Let's begin with that investment charter. The implementing decree is out, aiming to boost very small and medium enterprises, the TPMEs.
Right. Through specific primes, things linked to employment, regional development, and priority sectors. Seems positive on the surface.
It does. Support for SMEs is always welcome. But there's a significant point of contention, isn't there?
You mean the exclusion of the service sector SMEs?
Exactly. Despite their role in digital, tourism, training, private health, it feels like a major omission.
It certainly raises questions. The minister, Karim Zidane, confirmed the ceiling's 50 million dirhams investment, 1 to 200 million revenue.
Uh-huh.
But the justification for excluding services wasn't really, well, fully fleshed out, according to the article.
Which seems odd. I mean, services are vital for job creation in many regions, right? Doesn't this undermine the goal of balanced territorial development?
That's a fair critique. It could reinforce that feeling of being overlooked, especially for entrepreneurs in high-value, asset-light sectors. Think IT, design, consulting.
Yeah, the very sectors you'd think they'd want to encourage. It potentially sends a bit of a mixed signal.
It does. It makes you wonder if the charter's aim to strengthen the entire productive fabric might fall a bit short because of this exclusion.
Hmm. Okay, let's switch gears to something quite concerning. Digitalization and cybersecurity. That CNSS data breach sounds pretty bad.
It really does. Exposing personal data of 2 million citizens, tens of thousands of businesses, and in a simple CSV format.
The article's language was striking. Firewall was asleep, a door was open, really paints a picture of inadequate security.
And this is happening right when there's this big push for digitalization across the board. It highlights a serious vulnerability.
The cause seems tangled up in administrative complexity, like CNSS being moved between ministries.
That's suggested as a contributing factor, yes. It could lead to unclear lines of responsibility for data security, which is, well, critical.
And the official response, the article criticized it as slow and muted.
Which is never good in these situations.
Mm.
Transparency and speed are key to maintaining public trust, especially with sensitive data.
It definitely raises concerns about future projects, like that unified digital identifier for accessing public services online.
Absolutely. If a major institution like CNSS is vulnerable, how secure will a nationwide digital ID system be? It underscores the need for robust, embedded security from the ground up, not just as an afterthought.
Right. Okay, let's talk debt. Moroccan debt. The IMF seems relatively optimistic in a recent report.
Yes, surprisingly so, perhaps, given global conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The April 9th report considers Morocco's public debt sustainable.
Sustainable, that's the key word. They praised the fiscal consolidation strategy.
They did. They project the debt-to-GDP ratio will actually decrease, down to about 65.1% by 2030 from its peak in 2022.
So a downward trend,
mm-hmm.
and they think the pace of adjustment is okay. Socially compatible?
Apparently so. They acknowledge reforms in budget law, spending rationalization, broadening the tax base,
mm-hmm.
and also highlighted structural reforms, public resource management, digitalizing tax admin, improving governance, all seen as crucial.
But it wasn't all rosy, was it? There was a warning about external debt.
There was. That's the risk to monitor. It's projected to rise from about 48.2% of GDP in 2023 up to 53.4% in 2025.
Okay, so that's increasing.
And private external debt is also flagged for vigilance, potentially reaching around 70%. So while public debt looks manageable, the external side needs careful watching.
And there's talk of a new budgetary rule being discussed.
Yes, something to potentially provide clearer guidance for fiscal policy moving forward.
Interesting. Now, staying with finance, but looking ahead, potential massive investment inflows. Atajari Global Research had some huge numbers.
Huge is right. Potential inflows of 1.3 trillion dirhams by 2030. Eye-watering figures, really, highlighting opportunities in industry, infrastructure, renewables, digital.
Wow. But the report wasn't just cheerleading, was it? It raised a big question. Is Morocco ready?
Exactly. Ready to actually absorb and crucially maximize these potential investments. It stresses the need for an effective ecosystem.
And what does that mean practically?
Well, it boils down to the usual but vital suspects: simplifying administration, developing a skilled workforce, improving governance. The foundations need to be solid.
And concerns about where the money goes, equitable distribution across regions.
Yes, ensuring investments don't just concentrate in existing hubs, leaving rural or less developed areas behind. Mm. Avoiding marginalization is key.
The report also cautioned against prioritizing flashy projects over long-term value. It mentioned Noor Wurzizat in renewables.
Right. The point being to focus on projects with real lasting impact, high value-added sustainable jobs, technological advancement, not just impressive-looking ventures with maybe less substance.
And hitting that $1.3 trillion target isn't just about foreign money, right? Local resources are crucial.
Absolutely vital. Mobilizing domestic savings, local expertise, supporting Moroccan businesses. Hmm. It has to be a combined effort, foreign and local, to make it work.
Okay, let's shift to geopolitics. The U.S. reaffirming Morocco's sovereignty over Western Sahara. A significant development.
Definitely significant. The meeting in Washington between Foreign Minister Barita and Secretary of State Rubio confirmed the U.S. stance, continuing the recognition from the previous administration.
And they're still backing Morocco's autonomy plan as the only, quote, serious and credible solution?
Yes, that language was maintained. And Washington apparently intends to actively push for negotiations based only on that Moroccan proposal.
Which seems to sideline Algeria's preferred approach.
It appears that way, yes. From Morocco's perspective, this is clearly a diplomatic gain, aligning with King Mohammed VI's strategy and consolidating international support.
Interesting to see that continuity despite the change in U.S. administration. Now, speaking of U.S. policy, Trump's trade moves.
Ah, yes. Never a dull moment there.
He temporarily suspended new tariffs on China. But the article suggests it's more of a, well, tactical pause.
That seems to be the analysis. A 90-day suspension framed as a negotiation window. But China apparently sees it as strategic and is preparing countermoves, strengthening economic diplomacy, trying to reduce reliance on the U.S.
And the ripple effects. Global supply chains are watching nervously.
Cautiously, yes. Europe, emerging economies. Mm. Everyone's wondering what happens after the 90 days. But the article made a crucial point specifically for Morocco.
Which was?
That despite the U.S.-Morocco free trade agreement, Trump's new universal 10% tariff on imports still applies. It's on top of existing taxes.
So the FTA doesn't exempt Morocco from this new universal tariff?
Apparently not, according to the source. It could lead to a significant increase, maybe even tripling or quadrupling the tax burden on some Moroccan goods entering the U.S.
Wow. The article used the German car example, existing 2.5% WTO tariff plus a potential new 20% Trump tariff equals 22.5%. So similar principle applies.
That's the illustration, yes. These new tariffs are additive, creating a potentially much higher barrier even for countries with existing trade deals.
Okay, zooming out slightly, there was an opinion piece debating Trump's overall impact. Revival of politics or just disruption?
Right, presenting both sides. Mm. One argument is he disrupted the old global order, reasserted national sovereignty, challenged multilateralism.
And the counter-argument.
That his approach was divisive, undermined institutions, prioritized spectacle over substance. It's a debate the source reflects without taking a side.
It also noted, interestingly, that some of his themes like relocalization, sovereignty, are now being echoed even by his adversaries.
Which suggests some of those ideas resonated beyond his base, yeah.
Then came the big announcement. Massive import tariffs. 10% universal, higher for specific countries like China, framed as economic liberation.
Liberation might not be how the market saw it.
No kidding. The Dow Jones had its worst drop since 2020, wiping out trillions in value.
Yes, huge negative reaction. Concerns about rising costs for businesses, higher prices for consumers, major supply chain disruption. It spooked investors badly.
And international partners are retaliating or threatening to China, the EU.
They've indicated they will, yes, raising fears of a full-blown global trade war. The IMF itself warned of a significant risk to the global economy.
It's a volatile situation. But interestingly, amidst all this, some high-tech goods were excluded from the new tariffs on China. Smartphones, semiconductors.
That's right, a strategic carve-out. The thinking seems to be avoiding harm to major U.S. tech companies, Apple, Intel, Qualcomm, who rely heavily on components from China and Taiwan.
So protecting their own tech giants and maybe consumers from immediate price hikes on electronics.
Exactly. Taxing those could hit the U.S. digital ecosystem and consumers directly. Plus, excluding solar cells aligns with U.S. energy transition goals, keeping access to lower-cost Chinese panels.
So it's not a blanket approach. It's more targeted, focusing on specific sectors like batteries, EVs, AI, while protecting immediate U.S. interests.
It seems like a more calculated economic strategy against China this time around. Yes, pick your battles, essentially.
Okay, let's shift to the workplace. This concept of breadcrumbing, can you explain that?
Sure. It's described as a pretty toxic management tactic, basically giving vague promises, little hints of future opportunities, fleeting signs of interest.
Like leaving a trail of breadcrumbs.
Precisely. To keep an employee engaged and hopeful, but without any real commitment to promotion, raises, or concrete development.
And it can be unintentional, just poor management, or deliberate.
Both are possible. Sometimes it's incompetence or conflict avoidance. Other times, it's a calculated way to retain talent cheaply without formal obligations.
What are the signs an employee might be experiencing this?
Vague promises with no timelines.
Yeah.
Lots of talk about future opportunities that never quite materialize. Praise for extra effort, but no tangible reward or recognition. Avoiding direct conversations about career paths.
And if someone feels they're a victim?
The advice is to seek clarity. Request formal meetings, ask specific questions, try to get commitments in writing if possible, and if the ambiguity continues, maybe start looking elsewhere.
Makes sense. Unfortunately, another issue dragging on, the Takata airbag scandal, now affecting Toyota and Mercedes in Morocco.
Yes, another wave of recalls, affecting certain Toyota Yaris and Mercedes A-Class models sold in Morocco, potentially going back quite a way from 1998 to 2019, according to the article.
And the danger is still the same, airbags deploying improperly with metal fragments.
That's the critical safety issue, yes, potentially causing serious injury or worse.
So the manufacturers need clear communication campaigns from Moroccan owners.
Absolutely. Clear, reassuring information, online VIN checkers, dedicated hotlines,
yeah.
Everything needed to address the safety concerns efficiently and maintain trust in their brands.
Okay, finally, let's touch on education and AI. A really provocative piece worrying Morocco might miss the revolution of the century.
Yes, it draws a stark contrast with China's proactive approach to integrating AI into the curriculum, even from primary school.
While Morocco is seen as still grappling with more basic reforms.
That's the critique. Concerns about relying on translated materials, imported platforms, the lack of a clear national digital inclusion strategy for education.
And a gap between a few pioneer schools and the rest of the system.
Right. The worry is that without a systemic approach, training teachers in AI, creating relevant national curriculum, equipping all schools, Morocco risks being left behind in the digital age.
The urgency really comes across. It's framed as something needing immediate large-scale action.
It is. The article stresses that this isn't just about keeping up. It's about future competitiveness and equipping young people for the world they'll actually live and work in.
Well, that brings us towards the end of this deep dive into EcoDo 14-04-2025, a really fascinating snapshot.
It certainly covered a lot of ground, from investment hopes and hurdles.
To digital vulnerabilities needing urgent attention, a complex debt picture, the sheer potential of future investments.
Morocco's diplomatic positioning, the direct hit from global trade shifts, even workplace dynamics like breadcrumbing.
Ongoing safety recalls and that critical look at readiness for the AI revolution in education.
It shows an economy facing challenges, but also significant opportunities. Strategic management seems key.
Definitely. So for our final thought today, let's go back to that AI and education piece. Considering those very different approaches in Morocco and China, what fundamental shifts in maybe mindset and resource allocation are truly needed for Morocco, not just to participate, but maybe even lead in the 21st century landscape? What does a real revolution actually look like in that context?
That's a powerful question to ponder. What does it really take?
Something for us all to think about. Thanks for joining us for this exploration. We'll be back soon for another deep dive.